I'm just in the midst of reading a little book on the church. It's a good little book written by a seminary professor in which he looks at various aspects of the nature of the church, the characteristics of the church, treats each of them one by one, first looking at the biblical roots of that notion, and then how that has worked out in the early history of the church, and then answering some contemporary confusions that might arise about the church in one way or another. The first way that this author talks about the church is as community, I suppose because he wants to start with what is most natural, most basic to human experience, and then get on to more theological concepts from there. So in the course of speaking about the church as community, the author observes that in order for there to be community, the individuals who comprise that community must be present to one another. And he further says, there is no substitute for real presence, which he puts into quotation marks. Well, of course, that got my attention as I was looking forward to celebrating the Feast of Corpus Christi today, because that is a very famous expression that we use for the presence of Christ with us in the Eucharist. We revere Christ truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. We acknowledge that his presence there is not a presence of imagination or of representation or of symbolism, but a real presence. So, with regard to community, the author uses the same expression. There is no substitute for a real presence. He would not have added that sentence if he had written that book 25 years ago. You know why he added that sentence now? Because we are accustomed to experiencing something other than the real world. We have become accustomed to experiencing a virtual world, a virtual reality, and of being virtually present to one another. The author wants to contrast that virtual presence to the real presence that is so much more fundamental, necessary, and powerful. Now, there is something useful about virtual reality and about the ability to be virtually present to others. Some of you who are grandparents make excellent use of those means of modern communication to watch your grandchildren grow up day by day when they live at some distance from you. That is a great use of the internet. But it is an impoverishment of human life when we see, as is sometimes the case, people seeming to prefer virtual reality to the real world. Once in a while, we'll hear a young person say that they have 400 friends on Facebook. And it's very hard not to remind them they probably don't have 400 friends. As anyone who has experienced friendship knows friendship to be. The real world and real relationships and real presence are much more precious than the virtual substitute. So why would people gravitate toward virtual reality and want to spend all their time living as an avatar in a fictional universe, or being virtually present to others? Well, you don't have to comb your hair. I suppose that's one advantage, and doing everything through the computer. But it's also the case that in that virtual existence, there is no responsibility and there are no real consequences. If your avatar is killed, well, you start over. If a virtual relationship goes sour, well, you click off and it doesn't make much difference. Neither you nor the party at the other end will ever think of it again. A real relationship based on real presence has real consequences and entails real responsibility. And that's what makes it a little more challenging than its virtual counterpart. Think about that today with reference to the first reading of the Mass from the book of Exodus, a very picturesque reading in which Moses is the instrument through whom God seals a covenant, the old covenant, with his people. It's a great action there on the part of Moses, who reads out the law, the old law, that bears his name, to make sure that the people are in for this, that they are agreeable. And when they are, he builds an altar representing the presence of God. The altar is dedicated to God, represents him in some sense, and then takes blood, the principle of life, blood that bears life for the ancient people, and splashes it on the altar, and then reads out the law again to make sure that the people agree. They answer, all that the Lord has said, we will heed and do. Once they have said that, he sprinkles the other half of the blood on them. So the blood is on the altar representing God and on the people to signify that there is a real living relationship between the unseen God and them. And this relationship involves real consequences and real responsibilities. They must heed what the Lord God has to say and live according to his law. Of course, it's not all responsibility on our end. I think of the psalm of today's Mass, the first verse of which began, "How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me?" We are in a real relationship with God, the Holy Trinity, with the Lord Jesus, because the Lord has first been very, very good to us. The consequence for us in that real relationship is that we need to be his true disciples, to heed his voice, to do his will. And it is a real relationship because the Lord Jesus is really present to us in the Blessed Sacrament. The Eucharist is not an icon in the modern sense of the word, nor even in the ancient sense of the word, but especially in the modern sense of the word, as an image that stands for something. It is the Lord himself who has chosen to be present to us, that our relationship with him might be real and might be incarnate in all the actions of our lives. As we offer the Eucharist today, we give thanks to the Lord for that great gift of his presence with us. And we ask him that he might strengthen us, especially through our reception of Holy Communion, to live in a real relationship with him as his true disciples in every respect.